We're going to be just reading a few verses from Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to focus just on verses 28 to 30, but as we read, let's just go back to verse 25 if you're following in the ESV, which is what our church Bibles are, then you'll see the heading of this section of Jesus' teaching, "Come to me and I will give you rest." So we're picking up at Matthew 11, verse 25. "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.'" I think I mentioned the other week that on a Sunday afternoon at the moment, we're just going through some just various verses of scripture that perhaps we might even know well, and that we just want to dig a bit deeper into. And there are some, perhaps, during this series that have perhaps we haven't necessarily understood, and it's been good to look at those. But having said that, the passage we're going to look at this afternoon fits, I think, very neatly into following on from this morning. You don't have to have heard one to understand the other, but if you were here this morning, I think you'll see that this does, I think, dovetail nicely into that. Some weeks ago, we were considering the theme of strength for the weary, and we looked at those final verses of Isaiah chapter 40, where we are told to wait upon the Lord and that he will renew our strength. So this afternoon, if you, in a sense, if you want a theme, then I want to take as our theme rest for the restless, strength for the weary, and now rest for the restless. And it was Augustine who confessed before God, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they can find rest in you." The need for physical rest or rest for our bodies is perhaps easy for us to identify. We were just talking before the service and about being tired and feeling that weariness we can physically. And we know when that's come upon us, don't we? And we know that after continuous or intensive activity, then often we do need to rest. And perhaps as we get older, or perhaps our health isn't as good as it was, then that need seems to increase. We get physically tired and subsequently feel physically weaker. I find that I have to be honest with you each day, myself asking God to give me the strength that I need to live well and to serve him faithfully. That's something I need each day. Indeed, God builds this into his creation purposes, that need for rest, that need for Sabbath that we see as a theme right from the very beginning of the Bible, where God rests and enables us to rest too. But what about this invitation that we receive from Jesus to his disciples here in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29? "You will find rest for your souls." It sounds good, but what does it mean? Well, it immediately raises the question, doesn't it, as to what Jesus means when he talks about the soul. Again, when we talk about the body, it's easy, it's recognizable. Even if we're talking about the inner parts of our body that you can't see, but nevertheless, we identify with that. How then, what is the soul, and how then does that soul in turn relate to our physical body, that which, as we've seen, is flesh and bones? Well, a simple definition, if you like, of the human soul is that part of the person that is not physical. The real you and I, if you like. We think of the mind, don't we? We think of character, we think of thoughts, of reason, of will, of intellect, of feelings. It is the part of every human being that goes on for eternity, even after the physical body experiences death, as it experiences that frailty maybe, and gradually getting harder and harder to deal with. The soul lives on. In Psalm 35 and verse 18, we find that Rachel is in labor with her second son, Benjamin, from which she will sadly not survive. But this is what we read. As her soul was departing, for she was dying, she called his name Ben-Oni. So Rachel died. As her soul was departing, for she was dying. And so at a funeral service, whilst we lay the body to rest, we do not bury the soul which inhabits the body. For the Christian, we know that there will be a resurrection of our body. The Bible tells us that's clear. When in its renewed state, its resurrection state, body and soul will reunite for eternity. Someone has put it like this. They've said, you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. And so we are made in the image of God with a living and eternal soul, made to live on with Christ in eternity. 1 Peter 2, verses 24 and 25, speaking of Jesus, read like this. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The shepherd and overseer of your souls. And we have in those wonderful words of Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3, in which we'll sing at the end of our time together this afternoon. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. What comes next? He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So to restore has the idea of a rescue of a lost one. Sometimes we stray and we need bringing back to the shepherd. We need restoring. We see this in the gospel, don't we? Our soul is saved at the cross and we are brought back to the shepherd. And then that work continues as he leads us to green pastures and still waters and, yes, through the valley of the shadow of death. As we turn, therefore, to Matthew chapter 11, we see that Jesus wants you and I to know rest. He wants his followers to have deep, sweet restfulness of soul, not anxiousness. Immediately, we therefore need to understand what we mean by rest. And I think we all tend to relate rest to inactivity. I need a rest, so what do? I sit down and I do nothing. Of course, physical rest implies that, doesn't it? If we are going to rest physically, we must stop what we're doing. And we sit down, we rest our bodies, and yes, it does us good. In Mark chapter 6, verse 30 and 31, we read that the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." Jesus rested physically. He rested by the well in Samaria. We're told in John 4 that he was wearied from his journey. But spiritual restfulness is not the same as inactivity. It is a way of active living, of doing life, of serving, yet at the same time knowing that deep restfulness of the soul. So what are we saying here? What are we saying? Is my soul at rest today? Am I anxious about what tomorrow may bring, or exhausted by what I feel I must achieve today? Am I overwhelmed when I see in the news the terrible things that are happening in the world, and when I fear the outcome? Recall last weekend, after we heard the announcement of what had happened in Iran and in the Middle East, someone saying to me, "I woke up yesterday and I was just so sad, so overwhelmed by what was happening as the news came through." And I think we can feel like that, can't we? Just overwhelmed by it. It doesn't have to be international. It could be national. It could even be more local, things that are happening in our lives all around us. And Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The idea of labor and being heavy laden is that of being burdened. One Bible commentator suggests that labor implies the burdens we take upon ourselves, and heavy laden implies the burdens others put upon us. So yes, we can labor with those burdens that we take on ourselves without realizing it. And the heavy laden is where people come and, as it were, they seem to put those burdens on us. We sing, don't we? "Now when the cares of life seem overwhelming and my heart is sinking down." In fact, the word used here for labor means to work to the point of sweat and exhaustion. Well, these verses 28 and 29 really, but include verse 30 in it as well, these verses give four wonderful invitations to us from Jesus. If you have your Bible open, you'll see them. What are those four invitations? They are come, they are take, they are learn, they are find. Come, take, learn, find. The call is to come for rest. And a promise is that we will receive it. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Soul rest, contentment in Christ, knowing that we're loved by him. Knowing that, I guess in the words of that great hymn, isn't it? "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." Can we say that as we think about our salvation and we think what God has done for us? We thought, didn't we? What are we worth? What's important? What's valuable? We sung earlier, didn't we? What is it? It's at the cross. And so we know that we can be content in him, knowing that we're loved by him, and we can receive that soul rest, knowing that it is indeed well with my soul. And we can only know that, of course, if we know that we are saved by grace. I mentioned that hymn, well-known hymn, but what about one of the verses of that? "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. Remember, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. I want to just ask really at this point is, do you know that joy and that rest that comes because you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that it is well with your soul for eternity? So the call of Jesus is, come to me. And when we come to Christ, we turn away from the world and we keep coming. Come to me, says Jesus. Come away from the world, turn and look this way. Come to me and keep coming. There's that wonderful account at the end of Luke chapter 10 where Jesus enters the home of Martha and Mary. Lazarus also lives there, but it doesn't appear to be there on this occasion anyway. But Luke 10 verse 38 tells us that Martha welcomed him, that's Jesus, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now I know that Martha often gets a bit of a hard time, doesn't she, in this account. But the question is, who is doing the right thing? You see, Jesus needs feeding. The spare bed does need making up. It's all got to be done. Jesus knows that Martha is anxious, that she is troubled about things, and yet he commends Mary. One thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice. Sometimes we do need to sit and look at Jesus, to sit with Jesus, to drink in his beauty, to feed on his word. And it's not always easy to do, is it? Because there's always other things that distract us, not necessarily bad things, but things that overwhelm us each day. Look into the face of the one who gave his life so that we might have life everlasting. It is the call to complete trust and surrender. It's a call, what does Jesus say? Come and learn from me. So the call is to come. But the call is also to take. To take. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. The yoke was an instrument of labor, and we still won't understand it as being that today. It was that which joined the oxen together as they worked in the field, maybe plowing. But see here how rest and work are linked together. So come to me. I'm going to give you a rest, but you've got to take on this yoke. The things go together. Soul rest flows from a life surrendered and led by him, surrendered to him by faith. And so the oxen would be brought in, and the carpenter would carefully mark out the wood so that the yoke would fit perfectly to the animal and wouldn't chafe or wouldn't harm the animal. I guess it's likely that Jesus himself made yokes as a boy when he worked in his father's carpenter's shop in Nazareth, but it was certainly something that he was very familiar with. The yoke that he makes is easy and the burden he makes is light. Now we can see what he's saying now, can't we? Why is that so? Why can we be sure of that? Because he is meek and lowly. How gentle God, Christ is with us. How loving and merciful is God. We see this greatness, the greatness of God. We were singing it this morning. How great is the greatness of God. And yet here we have that wonderful invitation. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Come, take. But there's something else, isn't there? Learn. Learn from me. You see, he teaches us. He instructs us. He shares that burden with us. And if we're walking with him, if we're seeking to obey him, if we're relying on him, then what is the result? The result is rest for our soul. And yet we can still be doing things. We can still be active. But we can know that rest. Not easy, is it, for us to really to work that out, and to, it can be very difficult to receive that rest too, because we feel as though we ought to be doing, we ought to be sorting this out, we ought to be solving this. I know it's something that I need to know constantly, to know that soul rest. When training a new animal, such as an ox, training a new animal to plow, ancient farmers often would yoke the inexperienced animal, if you like, the new animal, would be yoked to a older, stronger, more experienced animal that would, in a sense, take the burden. And for this, the one who's learning, the one who's perhaps inexperienced. So the experienced animal would bear that burden, would guide the young animal through the learning process. Learn from me, says Jesus. I wonder if we're doing that. Our weariness can result, as someone has put it, from the cumulative, multi-layered intersections of life's complexities, bodily frailties, emotional heartbreaks, and the consequences of sin. Let me read that again. Our weariness can result from the cumulative, multi-layered intersections of life's complexities, bodily frailties, emotional heartbreaks, and the consequences of sin. Don't we all need that burden lightened? What a challenge that is to where that area is that we need to look at. Because we're not only to come, to take, and to learn, but we're also to find. The invitation is to find rest for your souls. The promise is that of rest in his presence, but most significantly, it will be rest for the soul. Coming to Jesus for soul rest doesn't change the fact that life is hard. It doesn't mean that we're never going to know physical tiredness and weariness. But it changes how we endure that. Because he is the giver of grace. We can know refreshment, we can know soul restoration, like David does in Psalm 23, verse 4. Jesus' words here are an echo of Jeremiah 6, verse 16, where we read, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls." You see it again. It's not inactivity. It's walk. Walk in it. Find the ancient paths, the good way, God's way. Look and seek that out. Ask for it, that we might know rest for our souls. The soul rest comes from walking. In other words, not of inactivity. It is following God's way. It's of being in his will, of treasuring him above all else. These are the words of Bishop J.C. Ryle. May we never be satisfied till we know and feel that we have come to Christ by faith for rest, and do still come to him for fresh supplies of grace every day. If we have come to him already, let us learn to cling to him more closely. If we have never come to him yet, let us begin to come today. Come, take, learn, find. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's just pause for a few moments as we just let those things come into our hearts.